Good morning. The Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. And they appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a crowd overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one was with them anymore, but only Jesus. And they were coming down the mountain. He ordered them to tell no one about what had they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us all pray together. Merciful God, as we've come to worship you, we pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts. May your Spirit remove any obstacle we face that might hinder us from hearing your message for us, from understanding it and from putting it into practice. We pray that your word will indeed transform all of us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so have you seen any of the Transformers movies?
Yes.
That's the choir. Have you seen any of the Transformers movies?
Yes.
You have. Dennis has. Okay. The first one came out in 2007. I mean, it's a long time ago. And it's a series of science fiction action films based on the toys created by Hasbro and Tomy. It's been one of the most successful film franchises of all time. And there have been seven films, and another one is scheduled to come out in September. And so you have these shape-shifting alien robots that can disguise themselves as man-made automobiles and morph into flying, fighting, super machines. And maybe that's what intrigues most people, you know, about Transformers. It's the transforming itself. Something basic and familiar becomes something powerful and mysterious and awesome. I mean, what if my car wasn't just a car? What if my desk wasn't just a desk? What if my toaster wasn't just a toaster? That would be an interesting world, right? I mean, it's kind of what a Murphy bed is, you know, like, but it's not as exciting as a car turning into a fighting super machine. So in Mark chapter 9, we just read about the transfiguration of Jesus. And so that last Sunday before Lent is when we traditionally focus on the transfiguration. Jesus took Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain. And then it says in verse 2, and he was transfigured before them. Or the New Living Translation says, as the men watched Jesus, his appearance was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach you could ever make them. So his appearance was transformed. Do you know what the tagline for the Transformers toys and films is? Anybody? Who said that? Oh, Leanne. Yeah, very good. More than meets the eye. Isn't that true for Jesus? Isn't he more than meets the eye? At the Transfiguration, this moment in which Jesus' appearance was transformed, this is the moment that the disciples got a glimpse of who Jesus really was. This is when they saw for the first time and for certain that he was more than just a man. Jesus stood before his disciples on the top of Mount Hermon, and before their eyes he changed. He changed from a rabbi with a keen connection to God into a God-man. He turned into God in the flesh, who was greater than Moses and Elijah put together. And this small glimpse of who Jesus could become, of who Jesus really was, left the disciples speechless and stunned. The world suddenly had new and exciting potential. What if my rabbi isn't just a rabbi? So why do we, talk about the Transfiguration? Why is that even on the church calendar? I mean, for us to each year circle back to Easter and Christmas, we get that, right? But why must we circle back to this? After all, hasn't it become clear that Jesus is God? Haven't we established the fact that he's not just a man, but divine? Haven't we seen this before? So why do we find ourselves here again? In verse 5, Peter said, "Rabbi, it's good for us. It's good for us to be here." So like it was for the disciples, I think it's also good for us, as Jesus' followers, to be here and look at the Transfiguration of Jesus. Why? Let me give you at least one good reason. Do you know what we tend to do? We spend a great deal of energy as people trying to transform Jesus. We try to morph and manipulate him into something that is not, something that fits our agenda. And so it's good for us to be confronted with the truth that Jesus is not who we've made him out to be. Not even close. He's greater than we've assumed. He's holier than we give him credit for. He's better than we've imagined. We need the Transfiguration because it breaks our idolatrous and self-serving ideas of who Jesus is. A Transformers toy, if you've ever played with one. Something that when you pull and twist it, it promises to become something different and exciting when you manipulate it in just the right way. Like that, we're all guilty of trying to transform Jesus. We have a tendency to transform him into something he's not. Did you know that the most popular picture of Jesus has blonde hair and blue eyes? So if he's white with blonde hair and blue eyes, then he's probably also American, right? And he's most likely a Republican or maybe a Democrat who's maybe a San Francisco 49ers fan or maybe he's a Chiefs fan. But when you go to Africa, you'll find that the Jesus picture looks remarkably like a person from Africa. Or when in Asia, the Jesus picture looks like a person from Asia. You see, people want Jesus in their own image. They want to transform him into who they think he is. But Jesus came so we could be remade in his image. He came to transform us into people God intends for us to be. And here's what happens when we shape Jesus into our own image. We end up putting our failures and our sinful brokenness on Jesus in a way that warps his holiness. Instead of seeing the glory of Jesus being a perfect human, God in the flesh, we tend to cast him as our kind of human. And in the process, we can develop prejudices based on our specific version of Jesus. And when we transform Jesus into our image of him, we end up missing the real and the biblical and the life-changing and the all-powerful Jesus who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And so here's something to ponder on Transfiguration Sunday.
Who have you tried to make Jesus into? How are you maybe transforming Jesus into someone he's not? Maybe you've crafted a picture of Jesus that is simply that of a divine affirmer. He never lovingly confronts you about anything in order to draw you back to the gospel. For you, he's only there to say, "I got your back, buddy." Maybe he's a political trump card for you, and you use him to win arguments and shut down debate on social media. Some people see Jesus as the genie for the faithful. The way this Jesus works is that when you just pray enough and believe enough or just try hard enough, Jesus will grant your wish for a spiritual breakthrough, or Jesus will make you rich and give you prosperity. Or maybe your daughter came home after her first full year in college and you find that her intro to philosophy class has turned her into an enlightened know-it-all, and the professor has helped her transform Jesus into the likeness of a simple first century guru and nothing more. So this is why we need transfiguration. This is why we revisit this familiar story, this territory. We come back to this
particular storyline because in the last
year, we've all built a false picture of Jesus. We've all laid our assumptions and our agendas and our designs upon him. And we've sat with him knowing that there's more than meets the eye. And we've tried to turn him into something that suits our fancy. Transfiguration Sunday is there to remind us of who Jesus really is and who we need him to be. Because you see, Jesus is not just a great teacher. He's greater than the great teacher Moses and the great prophet Elijah. And they bow to him. Jesus is not just an enlightened man. He's God in the flesh, and his glory shines brighter than clothes you could ever bleach. And he's not your card to be played in arguments or a puppet that obliges your commands. When Jesus was on the mountain with the disciples, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved Son. Listen to him." He's God the Father's beloved Son. That's who he is. And we listen to him. And he rules over us. And so every once in a while, we need him to bust out whatever box we've placed him into. And we again see in him transformed into his glorious self. And it reminds us that he is the one true God. And when Jesus transforms or from an apparently mortal man to glorified God in the flesh, we can really have only one response, and that is repentance and worship. We repent and we pray, Jesus, I'm sorry for making you into my image, and I ask for your forgiveness, and I thank you for using your awesome power to forgive my sins rather than scorch me for my idolatry. And we bow down before him and we say, I worship you as God. And I ask you to transform me into your image instead. Amen. Merciful God, we seek forgiveness for the many ways in which we make you and your Son into our image, who we would like Jesus to be. Forgive us for not worshiping him as your Son, your beloved Son, whom we are supposed to listen to. And so on Transfiguration Sunday, as we are on the doorstep of Lent and Ash Wednesday, I pray that we will repent and that our prayer indeed will be that you will change us into your image so that we don't make an effort to change you into our image. We pray this in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.